Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are joined for the next hour by John Perkins. We will have open phones, but specifically for questions for him on the economy, on how the international banking cartel operates and the things they do. We are simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv right now. I remember interviewing John Perkins before his book was on the New York Times bestseller and became a, I think, number one, didn't it? And then he's got a new book coming out, and we just really appreciate him coming on the show. John Perkins has lived four lives as an economic hitman, as a CEO of a successful alternative energy company who was rewarded for not disclosing his EHM past, as an expert of indigenous cultures and shamanism, a teacher and a writer who uses experience to promote ecology and sustainability while continuing to honor his vow of silence about his life as the EHM. And it just goes on from there. You know, John Perkins, it's probably better that you haven't been on with us in a few years. Introduce yourself, tell your story, you know, in kind of an encapsulated version in the next 10, 15 minutes, and then let's get into your expert take from the inside on what the international banks are doing right now. You know, their own IMF and World Bank documents state that they are engineering these collapses to bring in greater control. John Perkins, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Alex. It's great to be with you again, yes.
You got the floor. We're about to break in a few minutes, but tell folks about your saga, who you are,
Okay. Well, I was an economic hitman, and I think it's fair to say that we economic hitmen have managed to create the world's first truly global empire. And for the first time in history, it's an empire that's been created primarily without the military, through economics, through people like me. And we work many different ways, but perhaps the most common is that we will identify a third world country that has resources our corporations covet, like oil, and then arrange huge loans to that country from the World Bank and its sisters. But the money doesn't actually go to the country. Instead, it goes to our own corporations to build big infrastructure projects in that country, things like power plants, highways, and industrial parks that benefit a few wealthy people in that country, as well as our own corporations, of course, but don't help the majority of the people at all because they're too poor to buy electricity, to have cars to drive on the highways. They don't have the skills to get jobs in industrial parks. But they are left holding a huge debt. The whole country is. It's a debt so large that it can't possibly be repaid. And so at some point, we economic hitmen go back into that country and say, listen, you owe us money, you can't pay your debts, give us a pound of flesh. Sell your oil real cheap to our oil companies, or vote with us on a United Nations vote that's critical, or send troops in support of ours to someplace in the world like Iraq. And on the few occasions when we economic hitmen fail, Alex, and I talk in my books about how I failed with Jaime Roldós, president of Ecuador, and Omar Torrijos of Panama. When we fail, then the jackals go in. And these are people that either overthrow governments or assassinate their leaders. Because I couldn't bring Roldós of Ecuador and Torrijos of Panama around, I couldn't get them to accept these large, onerous loans. Both of them were assassinated by CIA-sponsored jackals. And on the few occasions when the jackals also fail, which is what happened in Iraq with Saddam Hussein, that both the economic hitmen and the jackals were unable to get through to Saddam Hussein, on those few occasions then and only then do we send in the military. And so we have this empire today. It's a global empire that's been created pretty secretly because most of us aren't aware that this sort of thing is going on. And it's the world's first truly global empire, been created primarily without the military and in secret.
Well, John Perkins, when we come back after this quick break, let's get into, you know, kind of encapsulating the Economic Hitman book that is very important for folks to get and read, and your experience inside the system so people know the past in a little bit more detail and how they recruited you, how they operate. And then we'll look forward to what's happening currently today with John Perkins. Confessions of an Economic Hitman is our guest. JohnPerkins.org is the website. I'm Alex Jones. Our sites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, because these bankers, these oligarchs, are creating a global prison planet. That's the whole goal of this thing. We'll talk about it with John Perkins on the other side. Stay with us.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. He's fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he has told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
Hello. eFoods Direct wants everyone to have food that tastes better than home cooking, but we have found some more people that we don't want to have our food. If you think pornography is protected free speech, but speaking to God in public prayer should be prohibited, don't visit eFoodsDirect.com. If you think that automakers who create millions of jobs should be put out of business, but modern-day money changers who create nothing should be bailed out, don't visit eFoodsDirect.com. If you think that schools should give kids condoms and teach abortion, but should ban Bibles on campus, don't visit eFoodsDirect.com. If you think that the White House garden should be front page news, while laws are passed making it illegal for you to have a home garden, don't visit eFoodsDirect.com. For the rest of you, visit eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-409-5633. Not sure what you need? 800-409-5633.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live for station that just joined us. We're now into our second segment with John Perkins, best-selling New York Times best-selling author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And John Perkins, johnperkins.org, reintroduce yourself for some stations that just joined us. Recap, basically your life, how you got involved working for the big international banks in the takeovers of countries. Secondarily, what was it like when you wrote your book? Did you know it'd be a, you know, number one bestseller? What has it been like since then? And then let's move into your expertise on how the world really works in view of what's happening currently with the globalist takeover of the banking system.
Okay, Alex, I'd be happy to do that. And incidentally, the answer to the last question about what's going on now, I have a new book coming out in early November, which addresses that. Its working title is Hoodwinked. I don't know whether that'll be the final title, but I'd really encourage people to subscribe to my newsletter. Just go to johnperkins.org. newsletter, you know, sign up list and sign on, and we'll let them know when the book's out and what the title, because it goes into these subjects. I was recruited by the National Security Agency, the nation's largest and most secretive spy organization, back while I was my last year in college in Boston. I went through a whole series of lie detector tests and other tests, and they determined that I would make a good economic hitman, and they also found that I had several hooks that they could use to really encourage me to come in. I think that three big drugs of our culture, I was kind of hooked on sex, power, and those were the big ones, sex, power, and money. And they determined all that and that they could get me into the fold. It's a long story. It's written up in Confessions in some detail. But eventually I ended up working for a private organization, Charles T. Maine. I became their chief economist. And all of this sort of work now is done not through employees of the government directly, but through outside consultants, through, you know, it's farmed out to other companies. So the government isn't actually playing any active role. So if I ever get caught, they wouldn't blame the government. They would just blame another dirty business.
So there's corporate surrogates that they use.
Correct, correct. And, of course, this was back in 1970. It's become much more prevalent today than it was then. But even then, in this particular case, and I tell a story about the first economic hitman, Kermit Roosevelt, who went in and overthrew a government in Iran. And he was a CIA agent. He was very successful at what he did. But very soon after that, they decided that it shouldn't be a government agent, a CIA agent. It should be someone working for a private corporation. So that's where I came in. And my job really was to corrupt presidents and other top officials of countries that had resources that our corporations covet, oil being one of the biggest ones, but there are many others also. And to really corrupt these people, to get them to accept huge loans for their countries, loans that would basically bankrupt the country, wouldn't be used to really help the majority of the people, would be used to hire U.S. corporations to build big infrastructure projects like power plants in their country that would help a few wealthy families who own the big industries and the commercial establishments. But the whole country would be left holding a huge debt they couldn't repay. So at some point we go back in and say, since you can't repay your debts, give us your oil real cheap. Or vote with us on the next UN vote or something like that. And when we weren't successful, and I mentioned in the book in my situation in Ecuador with the president there and also in Panama, I was not able to corrupt those two men, Roldos and Torrijos. And so they were taken out. They were assassinated by CIA-sponsored jackals. Once again, contract consultants, security consultants who were contracted assassins, not directly by the CIA. And in that way, we've really managed to create this empire. And the few occasions when the jackals and the economic hitmen are unsuccessful, like in Iraq, then we send in the military. And, of course, the military's always in the background. These people all know this. So today, the president of Afghanistan and Pakistan, they all know the deal. And they know that if they don't play the game with us on one level or another, they're going to go. And incidentally, Alex, our own presidents have to understand this, too. A guy like Obama now is taking a lot of criticism from his supporters, and a lot of it's very deserved. But I think one of the things that's important for us to understand is that our own presidents have been assassinated in my lifetime, and it's a constant threat. And so that makes it all the more important that we, the people, keep demanding change. We've got to keep the pressure on our politicians. We've constantly got to pressure them. We've got to put pressure on a guy like Obama so he can turn around and say to the CIA or whoever he's answering to at this particular point in time, listen, you guys, I got to do this because the people are demanding it. That's very, very important. That's
absolutely.
How we,
John Perkins, you know, I think what you just said is really the central spoke to all of this, and that is, the United States is captured by this system. Western Europe, England, Canada, Australia. As Westerners, we tend to think of ourselves as elitists, that we're kind of part of the establishment. I've talked to a lot of good old boys who are upper middle class, who are millionaires, that feel like they're actually part of the elite. And they're like, yeah, we staged some terror attacks. Yeah, I know about what Kermit Roosevelt did, staging terror attacks in Iran. But you know, that's how we win. That's how we get things done. But we're losing our freedoms and liberties here as well. We're financing these international corporations and banks to go give these loans to build infrastructure, which they themselves then own at our expense. And then those third world nations and old world nations rightfully hate us, and we get the blame for it, when really we're being drug along by the system as well. So this globalist corporate system, a crony capitalism, I guess you could call it, doesn't it exploit everybody except for what Rothkopf said on this show with his book, the head of Kissinger Associates, that the 6,000 superclass, they get all the power, money, and control, but the rest of the 6 billion, 400 million of us, we get the short end of the stick.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and what comes around goes around. We in the United States were willing to turn a blind eye on the use of slaves, essentially, in sweatshops that make us cheap shirts and tennis shoes. We were willing to turn a blind eye on get us cheap oil, even if it requires destroying the Amazon rainforest. We don't care. Get us cheap oil. We kind of turned a blind eye on that, and we always sort of said, well, of course they're doing the right thing. Nike's not hiring slaves, and Texaco isn't destroying the rainforest. Well, Nike is hiring slaves, and Texaco did destroy the rainforest, and there's a huge lawsuit in Ecuador right now that's going to be won against Texaco. And they don't do the right thing. And, you know, we've gone through this period that really started Milton Friedman, the economist from the Chicago School of Economics, who was deeply embraced by Ronald Reagan, got us on this roll of this, what I have to call a mutant virus of capitalism, which is to say the corporate executives don't need to be controlled. They're some sort of an elite, unlike the rest of us, who never do anything wrong. I mean, we've all got to have laws to keep us from stealing or cheating on our income taxes or picking somebody's pocket. But these corporate executives, they don't need any rules and regulations. No more rules and regulations. And everything should be privatized. They should be running everything, controlling all the world's resources. And let's give everybody lots and lots of credit. Get people to take lots and lots of credit. Well, I'll tell you, credit enslaves people. You know, if you're a union member and you've got lots of loans, you've got a big mortgage on your house, you don't want to go out and picket. You don't join the picket lines because you want to keep paying for your house so your family has a place to live. And so there's been all these things that were really came up in the 70s and much more strongly in the 80s after Reagan was elected. And it just continued through Democrats and Republicans alike. God, Clinton was one of the worst. And they have served to put us all in this position that we economic hitmen back in the 70s were doing to the rest of the world. It was so successful in the rest of the world that it's been pulled on us. And now we got to get out of it, Alex. We can do it, but we've got to set our hearts and minds and souls to doing it.
Well, let's look at the alternative, and then we'll get into solutions and, you know, get your expert opinion on the current climate and what you think those solutions and the way out are. But let's look at the alternative. If they continue this process of they're above the law, the private Federal Reserve goes before Congress and says no one can audit us, no agency, no government. If this imperial power is allowed to continue, will we have private bank chairmen wearing crowns and being worshipped? I mean, that's the logical extension of this, is kind of a Hitlerian Fuhrer precept where, well, we saw Cheney and Bush saying, it's not illegal if the president does it. If something's illegal and the president does it, it's okay. And we're now seeing Obama saying, yeah, we're going to continue no rights for detainees. And, yeah, we're going to continue having secrecy in the banking. It's clear the presidents have been turned into nothing but vestigial ceremonial creatures. So if we don't slow this down and reverse it, what will this world look like? What will this superclass who are openly above the law, what will they bring us to?
We'll all be living in Haiti, you know, and it's happening. It's fascinating. I just saw this morning that UN has announced that Bill Clinton's going to be their new UN ambassador to Haiti. Man, that's a fascinating comment right there. You know, we're all, we're essentially in that position right now. We're living very much like what we used to call banana republics. In fact, those bank presidents are wearing crowns today. They're getting away literally with murder. I mean, they're getting away with stealing and rape and pillage, and they're being rewarded for it, and that continues to happen. So, yeah, we're already in that world, and it's going to get much worse unless we really do something. And I think this economic crisis we're going through ought to push us all in the direction to turn this around. And we do have the power to turn it around. We have the power. The president doesn't. I don't know what's in Obama's mind. Obviously, I'm not a mind reader. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know what's going on with the guy. But I do know that he's in a very, very difficult position. And even if he has the very best of intentions, even if he wanted to do exactly what he promised to do in his campaign, once he gets in that White House, he gets the laws read to him. He gets somebody sits him down and says, hey, remember what happened to Martin Luther King? Remember what happened to Robert Kennedy? remember. And Clinton, of course, wasn't physically assassinated, but he had a character assassination. And I think he had the forecomings of one back in his first term.
And they clearly stay there. They clearly do that to weaken them and make sure they're compromised. And clearly Obama's got a lot of skeletons. That's why they like him. He's also very graceful, very intelligent. And after Bush, it's like people want a president they're not ashamed of. John Perkins, stay there. Confessions of an Economic Hitman, number one bestseller, new book coming out.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging.
Yeah,
fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he is told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
Are you tired of losing your hard-earned savings in retirement? Does the continued loss of purchasing power through the hidden tax of inflation brought on by trillions of dollars in government bailouts bother you? Then please let me, Dwayne Daly, with Midas Resources, help you to protect what you have left. Call me at 800-686-2237 extension 115, and I will explain to you how to retain your wealth and purchasing power now and in the future with gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a form of currency for 6,000 years compared to our present fiat currency, which has only been in existence for 38 years and failing fast. Call me, Dwayne Daly, at 800-686-2237 extension 115 to start your protection of wealth today. I will custom fit the protection package to your personal needs. No amount is too small, so start today. Call Dwayne Daly with Midas Resources at 800-686-2237 extension 115 for your gold and silver protection portfolio.
The New World Order Beast is genetically modifying your food, mixing vegetables with animals, and now experimenting with viruses. Without a long-term food solution, you will have just two options. Starve,
surrender,
or surrender. All canned food supplies will eventually run out.
What then?
Grow your own healthy food and feed your family forever. SurvivalistSeeds.com is now the nation's largest bulk heirloom seed company.
And it's owned by a real patriot.
Big John Lipscomb.
You can now have
an infinite amount of healthy vegetables like a watermelon, a bundle of carrots, or tomatoes for a little more than a penny each. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And now you can go into business with Big John at SurvivalistSeeds.com by becoming an affiliate. See his link at SurvivalistSeeds.com.
We're talking to a gentleman recruited out of college by the U.S. government to work through private corporations to go in and facilitate the takeover of third world nations, predominantly in Latin America, but it goes on worldwide, by economic means. John Perkins, I want to get more into what's currently happening and how this is just expanding and expanding as they gobble up the entire planet and leave tyranny where liberty was and freedom was and economic freedom was. But looking at the structure, you know, the CIA is declassified. They brag. Other governments do this. MI6 does it. Other intelligence agencies do it. But nobody does it like the United States, obviously. The Russians did it to some extent, using money to get control of nations. But this program of going into third world countries, paying off their leaders, giving them loans at 25-30% interest, where $1 billion turns into $40 billion, getting the countries to sign over all their infrastructure, then the IMF World Bank documents where they turn the power and water off to cause a riot, so then society really falls, so the globalists can then buy up their stock markets. I mean, this is all on record, and now they're clearly doing it, not on a regional scale, but on an international, global scale. I mean, this is really a military system where they come in with the economics first, and as you said, back it up then militarily. After the society collapses, that creates the next crisis. They need to bring in the physical control. Can you speak specifically to the IMF riot?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, probably the best example, the clearest example, is what happened in Cochabamba, Bolivia, a few years ago when the IMF decided that what it really wanted to do was take control of the water system down there. Bolivia couldn't pay off its debts. And, of course, the Bolivian people at the time were saying, we don't really owe these debts. These debts were taken on by a military dictatorship before our time. We didn't have any say in it. And those guys are all gone now. The banks shouldn't have allowed this to happen. But in any case, the IMF went in, and they dictated that Bolivia had to basically give its water company in Cochabamba, its third largest city, to the Bechtel Corporation, a U.S. corporation. Bechtel went in and immediately increased all the prices of water. Some people had to pay four times what they'd been paying before. The word got out that people couldn't even use rainwater, that they had to pay for that. It was terrible. So there were huge riots. People were dying of thirst, poor people. And they took to the streets, and eventually they got their water system back, and Evo Morales then became president at very, very much at the same time, and Bechtel kind of put its tail between its legs and left, only because this enlightened president came in at the time. But we've seen that thing time and time and time and time again on all sorts of levels, where in order to forgive a country's debt, and we never really forgive it, we just delay it, usually increase the interest rates. But in order to even make that happen, we force them to privatize their electric utility companies, their water and sewage companies, their prisons, their schools, their mines, their resources, their oil companies, and sell it to American corporations, or sometimes it's European corporations, time and time and time again. And now, of course, isn't it interesting how we're almost seeing a reversal of that process in this country, Alex, where in fact the private banks are in such dire trouble that the government is going in and bailing them out, and it's stopping short of actually taking an equity position where it really has control over them, but it's getting so deeply involved through these bailouts. So it's really socialization of the corporatocracy, of the people that run our big corporations, of the big corporations themselves. We're socializing them, and we've basically capitalized the poor people and all the failures in the country.
John, I see it as socializing the risk, but privatizing the profit, has been said many times, where I really see this as a corporate takeover of the government. I don't see it as a government takeover of the banks, because it's clearly the New York Fed and other private central banks that are running the show globally. They fearmonger, oh, my God, we're in this big crisis. You know, they use the derivatives, all the fiat currency and credit they made to buy up the world. Now the bubble's popping. They're using that as a way to terrorize people into giving them even more power. And they're announcing on the news a new Bank of the World, and that we'll be paying our taxes to it. But these are the bankers. They're the experts. They know how to run things.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, it's government money that's going in to bail out the bankers and other companies. And yet the government's not taking control. It's the private sector that has the control. But it's our money. When I say government money, I mean your money, my money, your listeners' money, our taxpayer money is going in to bail out these guys that took big risks, lost, and now we're paying them off, and they are continuing to have all the power, the corporatocracy, the private businessmen.
John Perkins, quick break, long segment coming up, lots of time to get into detail here. When we get back, I want to ask you, have they overplayed? Is it so obvious and just incredibly arrogant what they've done? Do we have a chance as a world to get the word out about this and bring these people to justice? And then if we do, what do we set up? What's the new system? So how do we move forward?
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You worry. If you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. Yeah, fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he has told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
Finally in the news this evening, it's being reported that cyber spies from Russia and China have now penetrated our power grid. Even as energy experts are reporting that each summer we get closer and closer to the limits of our nation's power grid, some say that this summer's demand for electrical power may finally push the grid over its edge, creating a cascade of power outages across the country, putting us all in the dark.
Are you prepared for the next round of storm-related outages or government-created blackouts? Have you ever thought about taking steps to get off the grid and generate your own private supply of electrical power? If so, this will be the most important information you have ever heard. Solar-powered generators are finally available. They have no moving parts to wear out or break and require absolutely no gas whatsoever. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Check out mysolarbackup.com before you lose your power.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the
we were fighting the same people back in the 1830s we are today. It's simple. There's a class of people in ancient China, Japan, Europe. All humans act this way. They figure out how to corner and manipulate currencies and money. And these private families, these private banking cartels, and the allied corporations and military-industrial complex under them, they figured out how to engage in mass fraud, how to create fiat currency and credit out of nothing and then get the world for it. People will kill their grandma, you know, for $1 million. Most people out there, I mean, a lot of them would. It's sad to say, that's $1 million made out of nothing. And so they're literally usurping the world through this. John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, website's johnperkins.com. I got a bunch of questions for you now, and then anything you want to talk about that you think is most important for folks in the time we have left together today. But tell folks how to get Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I know you have the latest edition out, And also, there's a new book coming out in the next 3-4 months, how folks get on the free mailing list there at your website so that they can get the latest news when the new book comes out at johnperkins.org.
Yes, thanks, Alex. It's johnperkins.org, and just right up in the corner, there's a thing that says newsletter or also mailing list, and either one of those, just hit that and just put in your email address, and you'll be on my list. And the new book, the working title is Hoodwinked, an economic hitman exposes what's going on in the world today and how to change it, something like that. That title might change, but we'll be sending out an email a month or two before the book comes out and let everybody know where they can get it and what the title will be. It's being published by Random House Broadway Books, it's going to be covering all of these things.
You know, John, a lot of books have been written from similar perspectives or angles, but obviously you're a great writer and had this amazing history. But why do you think from all the books out there that have been written, literally hundreds that I know of, exposing how this financial global oligarchy works, why do you think yours became a number one bestseller and got so much attention?
Well, I think Confessions became a bestseller because it's a true story about a guy in the trenches. It's not an academic treatise on this. It's not speculation. I only talk about things that I really did. I really experienced it. It's my story. And I think it's a fun book to read because it's down to earth stories with a lot of conversations. A lot of people tell me it reads basically like a novel. It's not a novel. It's true. I kept a lot of notes. I know what I said in those conversations. So I think it's kind of fun to read. It's got, sex, drugs, and rock and roll in it. And it's not academic, and yet it covers the real truth behind the economics that went on and some of the economic principles behind it, but I think in a way that's kind of readable.
Mm-hmm.
The new book I'm writing now, I'm very, taken by how many books there are right now on the minutiae, the detail of what's going on in the economy and how to fix it. That's all necessary. Those are Band-Aids, how are we going to deal with AIG? How are we going to deal with the auto industry and Bank of America, et cetera, et cetera?
But why not talk about the cause of it? Why not talk about who did it?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm doing. That's why my book, I think, is very different because it's saying, look, everybody else is talking about triage, the Band-Aids. We need the triage. We need the Band-Aids. They're not undercutting the need for that at all. But what I'm saying is we got to get at the, what caused the heart attack. You can have a triple bypass, but if you don't change your diet or whatever it was that caused it, you're just going to have another heart attack. And that's what we're going through. We can do all the triage we want, but if we don't get at the root of the problem and change that, then we're not going to get anywhere. So,
well, John, that's what I was about to say. The so-called triage is giving the very criminals more power. That would be like if you had cancer and they said, how do we feed the cancer? How do we make it grow faster? How do we give it more power? I mean, that's not how you treat the cancer, is adding more carcinogens.
No, and that's exactly right. And so we need to go way beyond that, and that's what my book is about. How did we get here? What are the true causes of this? And what do we have to do to change that? And, of course, the true causes are fairly philosophical, and they're also the way that we all live, the lies that we ourselves have bought into and accepted, the icons that we have chosen to hold out as our heroes, our whole form of consumerism, the fact that we turn a blind eye to companies that are destroying rainforests in order to bring us cheap oil, and so many other things like that. And we really need to address those things and I think have fun in doing it. I do not see this as onerous. I see this as a time of tremendous enthusiastic passion for moving forward. I think we're at a time in history, Alex, that's like the Industrial Revolution or the Agricultural Revolution, the time when city-states became nations. We're going through a truly transformational time. And if we allow it to happen in this transformation, a few people are going to become world rulers, and they're well on the way to that now, what I call the corporatocracy. But we do not need to allow that to happen. We can see this as a time when we can have a true turnaround, when we really can start to honor and embrace the principles that were espoused by the founding fathers of this country of, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, government for of and by the people. We've moved a long way away from that in the last 4 or 5 decades in this country. We need to, and in fact at other times in our history too, we need to move back into it now and go even further into it and look at it as a worldwide movement, not just a movement that's bracketed by the Rio Grande and the Canadian border and the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans. This is a global movement.
Well, John Perkins, I agree with you when you say we're at a crossroads, and the technocrats, the elites, the big foundations, The think tanks, as you know, say that. And they believe they're going to dominate the future. They believe they can set up this world tyranny under this corporate globalist model where they socialize our wealth, take it from us, and give it to themselves to then buy off and control our governments. And I want to talk about solutions of breaking free from this. But let's go back to the James Bond parallel. You know, Ian Fleming, OSS, World War II, British intelligence, writes these books. And a lot of what's in those movies and books is true. A lot of it isn't. But when you take the gadgets out and the suave, you know, angle, instead of James Bond going out and helping and fighting Spectre and the bad guys, James Bond really works for Spectre. And so you've got CIA, you've got MI6, and then above them is this global Bilderberg group, Trilateral Commission, you know, the inner rings of the CFR, who are these corporate players, these managers. And you were a mid-level, kind of a captain out there, you know, engaging in the trench warfare on the ground to take over. They know what they're doing. They're making their move. And so in reality, James Bond would actually be the bad guy. He would go over to Iran in 53 with Kermit Roosevelt from the U.S., CIA section chief, stage terror attacks, blame it on Mohammad Mossadegh, have him arrested, behead the cabinet, and bring in an oppressive police state in Savak, which you cover in your book and I cover in my film, Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror. And so now we see them setting up the Savak, setting up this police state grid here in the United States. It's very, very frightening to realize they're going for broke. The establishment has committed, and I see radio, TV ads, print ads, domestic CIA, youth corps in the news saying they're going to spy on their neighbors. I mean, I have the headlines here today about, you know, children being told spy on their neighbors and their parents and how to be paid to do it. I mean, I want people to understand this is really happening. So I kind of put out a lot of info there. Your comments on what I just said.
Yeah, it's 1984. We're just a few years late, that's all. But, you know, you talk about Savak and you talk about even the SS, the Hitler's people. It's coming out that we weren't any better and probably still aren't. I mean, all this stuff about torture and the degradation of the principles that we've always believed in. What did Savak do that was worse than what work that's coming out that we did? To prisoners of war, to people that we thought could give us information. And now to have a former vice president continue to speak up and say it was the right thing is, I mean, what does that tell us, Alex? It tells us that we've reached a system of where people are very, very much trying to convince us that that is the system that we need to live under. And we must resist this wholeheartedly. If we don't resist it wholeheartedly, we're basically repeating what we for years blamed the German people for having accepted Hitler and the concentration camps, the whole Holocaust. We're finding ourselves in that same position now. Are we going to accept this or are we going to fight it?
Well, John, that's my next point, is that if you really study history, which you're a learned man, I'm sure you know about this, it's now been declassified and on record. New York and British banks funded Hitler early on, thought he was a great guy because they wanted fascism, and then later, you know, once he went totally wild, turned against him. And so, again, it's these banking cartels always funding every side, playing nations off against each other, funding both sides of the war, and then, in the end, coming out on top with all the power. I mean, this is the same trick they play over and over again. Take what the banks did after World War One with the Versailles sanctions on Germany, keeping them in a depression. That was the atmosphere that allowed the rise of Hitler. That's the atmosphere that keeps the Third World under dictatorships today. And you read the Royal Commission on Population 44 to 49, put out by the British government, they cold-bloodedly admit they're doing all of this to create destabilization so they can control things. I mean, this is really order out of chaos.
Yeah, and here we go again. And not only that, Alex, but when I went to business school back in the 60s, I had professors that would tell me, we'll never have another Great Depression because we've set rules and regulations in place that will not allow that to happen again. And I think that was true at the time. Glass-Steagall was, you know, one of the preeminent acts and regulations against usurious interest rates. But since that time, since I graduated from college, beginning in the 80s under Reagan and continuing through Clinton and everybody else, we continually hacked away at those rules. So we reached the point where there was no more Glass-Steagall that separated commercial banks from investment banks and insurance companies, and the usury laws were all done away with. So today there's some of these payday check people are charging as much as 800% interest rates, and banks and credit cards are charging in the 30s. That's outrageous. And I was told when I was in business school that would never happen again, and that protected us from the from another depression. And I think it probably did. Mm-hmm. But we whittled away at all these things. We made icons and heroes out of people like Donald Trump and Jack Welch of GE, who bragged about the fact they fired people, and at the same time gave themselves huge increases in salaries. Welch got rid of roughly a quarter of his employees at GE and gave himself huge bonuses. You know, and Trump fires people on TV and makes a big scene out of it. These became our icons, our heroes. And we get rid of regulation, and we took on huge, huge amounts of debt. And we, the consumer, turned a blind eye to the
fact. Well, isn't this, exactly, but isn't this gladiatorial where they show people being fired and we all kind of join in there in the arena? But next week we're going to be in the arena and our friends are going to be laughing at us in the cheap seats. To interrupt you, because in the limited time, and you're making so many great points, I want to go back here to how they recruited you. Because they're recruiting now in the high schools, the colleges, for domestic spies and running all the same operations. I haven't been involved in this at the level you've been in, but just being a talk show host, back when I was only on a few radio stations, back in like 97, 98, I got approached by big corporate heads openly saying, yeah, the New World Order's real, you might as well just go ahead and join us. You'll get millions of dollars. Come on, the loser public doesn't want your help. You know, kind of that mindset of you're part of the elite too. And, of course, I knew that wasn't the case. They were just trying to sell me. And then since then, I've had them try to send women after me with handlers. I've been in New York and had literal Russian spies there trying to put, you know, number 10 blondes on me. And it's not that Alex Jones is special. It's that there are really spies and intelligence people going all over the place, operating all the time, and the general public just doesn't know this. They don't understand this. Can you explain to them how big these armies of not just CIA and NSA and Defense Intelligence, but all the allied corporate groups that are operating? Can you explain, because you were inside that, how big this really is?
Well, as you found out, it's a very seductive system, and they figure out what your weakness is, which I think in your, it sounds to me, Alex, like you got a weakness for number 10 blondes.
But it didn't work. The point is it didn't work.
Yeah, but someplace along the line, they identify that as a potential weakness for you, and you've overcome it. Good for you. Good for you. But they, but I mean, that's true. They hone in on these things. I talk in the last book I did, not the one that's coming out, but the one right after Confessions, called Secret History of the American Empire, about this Brazilian woman when I was in Brazil who posed as a journalist, but what she was really doing was offering great sex to me if I came around. I mean, that's typical. And there's so many ways of bringing you around and then blackmailing you, or offering big bribes. I talk in the books about how I took a pretty big bribe at one time of money because I was also my life was being threatened not to write books. Yes, this happens. It happens all the time. It's a big part of the system. And Alex, you are important. That's why they're coming after you. You're reaching people. Anybody who's reaching people is important because they recognize that public opinion is where it's all at. You know what? The marketplace is democratic. If we choose to make it such, this is the good news, that these big corporations are dependent on us. If, you know, they cannot exist if we don't buy their goods and services or if our tax money doesn't buy their goods and services. And we've won so many battles in the past. You know, we got rid of apartheid in South Africa, basically through the marketplace. We got corporations to clean up terribly polluted rivers in this country and get rid of aerosol cans that were destroying the ozone layer, open their doors wider to women and minorities, get rid of trans fats in food, on and on, because just a few of us, If a small number of us never again buys from Nike, and we write a lot, and every one of us writes an email to Nike and says, we're not buying from you because you have sweatshops, and we buy from Patagonia and send them an email and say, we are buying from you because you don't have sweatshops, then Nike's either going to have to fold or turn its sweatshops into legitimate factories.
Well, here's another example, John, and you're right. 10 years ago, I'd go grocery shopping and couldn't find organic food. Now, because the people demanded it, it created a market. Now about half the food in Austin stores is organic, and it's starting to push out the other, bad GMO stuff. So the government's trying to pass a law so they can deceptively label things. But, again, another example of if we just vote with our dollars and believe we have power, there's nothing we can't change. We just got to take our destiny.
Exactly. We have tremendous power in that regard. Europe has essentially gotten rid of GMOs. Even the big companies that use GMO products in this country, like Kellogg and Kraft and companies like that, are taking out of the things they're selling in Europe because Europe demanded it. We could do the same thing. Yes, there will be resistance. And yes, the government will try to deceive us, but we don't need to let that happen. We really have tremendous power. What we need to do is exercise it more and realize that our vote in the marketplace is extremely important. I'm not going to say it's more important or less important than our vote in the polling booth, but it's just as important. It's important. They're both important. We need to vote every time we shop or choose not to shop, and we need to let those companies know why we're not buying from them or why we are buying from them, and that will turn things around.
Exactly. There's more of us than there are the elite. I mean, I had Rothkopf on, again, former head of the Kissinger Group, who wrote this book, Superclass, and there he was in the Washington Post bragging, we're setting up world government up for and by the elites. And I had him on, and I said, why'd you come on? Oh, we know who you are. We just want to, come on the show and let everybody know that, we're doing this for your own good. But he admitted there's 6,000 superclass in the world, and if we didn't go along with them, there's no way they could get away with this. Final segment with John Perkins straight ahead. Maybe I'll twist his arm to do maybe a segment more so as we can take more calls. You can get his book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, John Perkins. Stay with us.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed, America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. He's fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he is told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Thank you.
Okay, we got Salem in Brazil, Julio in Illinois, Joe in Texas, and others for our guest, John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. New book, Hoodwinked, is the working title, coming out in November. The book's basically done. He's just doing some footnotes and polishing it up. Great writer. And I'm going to carry this one in our Infowars.com bookstore. I meant to carry Confessions of Economic Hitman and just didn't do it a few years ago when it came out because we got so busy. Speaking of books and videos that we carry that expose this stuff, we are carrying American Freedom to Fascism, the full director's cut at Infowars.com, and the Aaron Russo exclusive final interview he did before he died. That is now available with added commentary and updates for myself at Infowars.com. Terror Storm, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. These are all great films to get at Infowars.com and show to your friends and family. Every person you wake up is one step closer to us beating these bankers. They wouldn't be trying to silence free speech, intimidate people, carry out hits all over the third world if this wasn't the case. Before we take a few calls from Brazil and other places, John Perkins, one area we didn't get into today, but you've got to go in about 10 minutes, is what the jackals do, what the hitmen do. You were the guy trying to buy them off. You were the slick corporate operator. Explain what came next if folks didn't go along.
Well, yeah, for example, in Ecuador with Jaime Roldos and in Panama with Omar Torrijos, I couldn't bring those guys around. They wouldn't take these big loans. They wouldn't corrupt themselves and their country. And so I was very aware that there'd be tremendous pressure placed upon them. And in some cases, we overthrow governments like we did with Mossadegh in Iran and with Arbenz in Guatemala. In other places, we assassinate the leaders as we did with Allende in Chile. And that's what happened to both Roldos of Ecuador and Torrijos of Panama because I couldn't bring them around. And I like both of these men immensely. I was particularly close to Torrijos. Really, really liked the guy. They were both assassinated.
Is that what started waking you up, is that you knew these guys really cared about their people, whether you agree with their politics or not, and you were seeing them, you know, 1 week you're having drinks with them, and a week later they're dead?
Yeah, I began to really get the idea about late 1978, early 1979. I was called to Washington, a meeting at the Army and Navy Club with some retired admirals and generals, and read the Riot Act on an African president that they wanted me to corrupt, and if I couldn't do that, they were going to take him out. And it became very, very clear to me. Up until that point, I'd been an economic hitman for about 9 years, and like everybody else, I figured that the CIA was involved in Allende and Mossadegh, but it was all intellectual to me. And I would use it sometimes in arguments with these presidents. Oh, remember what happened to Mossadegh. Remember what happened to Arbenz. But, I didn't have any personal involvement. And suddenly I'm in these meetings in Washington with these generals and admirals, and I'm hearing this stuff. And then I'm beginning to see the tremendous pressure that Roldos of Ecuador and Torrijos of Panama are under, and then they get assassinated. And I know there's no denying anymore, and that's when I get the hell out immediately. I quit on a day's notice because I really, really got it. And it made me absolutely sick and miserable, and I hated myself and had to get out.
And then a lot of good old boys say, yeah, we're going around killing people to take over. Now they're doing it in America with NORTHCOM. Now they're taking over. What about government-sponsored terror? You know, we know they've done that many times, the Tonkin incident, the Liberty, and others. 9/11, other events came out. Cy Hirsch reported Cheney wanted to attack our own ships, but it got vetoed. What about government-sponsored terror? I mean, these generals are getting pretty ruthless.
Well, look at the general that has just been given command of Afghanistan. I guess he hasn't been approved yet, but the one that's been proposed from Special Forces, Special Operations, he's on record of having been involved in the torture in these places and also having given the command to have people around the world assassinated, what we call terrorists assassinated. I mean, there's no justification for that. You know, Alex, this whole business of terrorism is an interesting word. It's not an ism. There's no relationship between the terrorists in Colombia, the FARC people, and the terrorists at Al-Qaeda. They're totally separate.
It's anybody that resists the globalist agenda. Stay there. One more second.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.